this morning we're kicking off a new series called The Pursuit of Happiness. The Pursuit of Happiness. I believe every New Year's that we have people reevaluate their lives. Some people begin to look on the inside out and begin to look and say, what are things I can change about my life because I'm not happy about certain things in my life? And it's like a quest, you know, and what we see a lot of times happening is people are on this quest to find happiness, this pursuit to find happiness. But let me just testify to you this morning. I want to be let you know, as a person who's been on that quest before in my life, on that journey, on that pursuit, I can tell you that nothing will bring you happiness until you learn to surrender your life truly over to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is the truth. You can have so many things happen right in your life, but those things are only temporary. It's only until you give yourself to the eternal things of God that your life has true meaning, true happiness, and true purpose. And so throughout this series, as we talk about the pursuit of happiness, this is not just a fluff message. Because some of you might say, well, oh, God wants to say, this is not a fluff message because it's going to challenge you at the core. I promise you, after you leave today, you go, boy, that was a challenging message. It's going to challenge you at the core of what really happiness is. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear. It gives us a true definition of finding purpose, fulfillment, and happiness. Jesus had a lot to say about how to live happy. And we're going to look at it and say, how are we aligning our life? Are we pursuing the things of God in our life that are going to truly bring fulfillment? They're going to bring purpose. They're going to bring happiness in our life. Now, today, I believe that every year we have people who are starting New Year's resolutions, people who are making goals about themselves and making goals for themselves, and maybe your New Year's resolutions go a little something like this video right here. Can set all kinds of resolutions, and they change from year to year. Resolutions fulfilled, many unfulfilled, and they will never bring fulfillment. You know, many people believe if I can just set a goal, if I can just lose a certain amount of weight, then I'll truly be happy because I'll change my image and people will really like me. And this, we have all these false hopes. And whether you succeed in it or you fail, if you fail, then you really have a self-image problem. If you succeed and then you realize, boy, it really didn't change my life the way I thought it was, then what am I left with? Because that was my big crutch. The reason I am where I am because I had this more weight or I had this about me or this is not my problem. We put all our problems on things that we can change and resolutions. And I just simply tell you, that I don't care how many resolutions you fulfill. Those are good things. Those are good goals. It's good to get your health back in shape. It's good to have some priorities. I'm all about setting goals and making resolutions. But I'm here to tell you that fulfillment doesn't come from met or unmet resolutions. True fulfillment comes when you pursue the things of God. True happiness comes when you begin to seek God first in your life. And you'll not understand this, you'll never understand this until you put God first, that you will truly find what happiness really means. So here's my only New Year's resolution I hope that you make this year. This is my resolution. I hope that you make this year. It's the title of today's message. It's simply this. Let's say it together. No more leftovers. One more time. No more leftovers. Many times in our life, we see where leftovers can be kind of good when you're in a hurry, right? But let me ask you this question. I was reading the other day about President Jimmy Carter, that when he was president, that he actually, when he toured the country and would go across country many times, they would select normal, average citizens like you and I, and they would call the White House to pick you out. They'd call you up and say, hey, by the way, President Carter is going to be nearby. He would like to have dinner at your house. Or many times, he'd even go a step further, he would actually ask to stay at your house overnight. Can you imagine the White House calling you and saying, hey, by the way, the president wants to stay and spend the night at your house? I mean, that's just kind of unreal to think about. Now with national security the way it is, it's almost impossible to even fathom. But back in the late 70s, we see this happening here. So I thought about that. I thought, you know, if we found out the president was coming to our house, how many of us would come on in and say, come on in, Mr. President. I know you've been coming for a while. Get that dog. I'm sorry. Excuse the junk on the table. Sit down right here. Sit down. And we got dinner ready for you. It's in the microwave right now. My wife, she cooked this 4 days ago. It was really good. We're giving you the leftovers right now. It's going to be ready in about 10 minutes. No, I don't care if you could afford it or you couldn't afford it. You would go out and you would find a way to make them the best meal possible that you know how to do. You would clean your house. You would straighten up your house. You would do everything you can to fix those things that maybe you ignore. If you knew the president was coming, would you give him leftovers? No. But how many know that if we wouldn't do it for the president, why would we do it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Scripture says our God, that Jesus Christ, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And why would we want to give God our leftovers? Why would we get in the habit? I can tell you this. I've been there. You've been there. And it's a trap we can get into very easily that we allow our relationship with God to be about giving God our leftovers. And this is my prayer for myself and for you this year is that we would say, God, I'm tired of giving you the leftovers. I want to get back to giving you the best. The best I have. I want to get back to honoring you with the best offering I can give you. I want to get back to honoring you with the best I can give you. No more leftovers. Turn to your neighbor and say, no more leftovers. Now, some of you like leftovers. And I understand there's a few dishes that actually taste pretty good the next day. But you're missing the point if you go there, okay? That's not what I'm saying. Is that many times we give God our leftover time, our leftover resources, our leftover focus, our leftover heart. We give God so many things that are left over. And let me tell you that when we come to God as salvation, that we just come as we are, okay? Sometimes it feels like there's only a little bit left of you. When you're first coming to God, it feels like I just have a little, God, I've had my heart torn out. I've been hurt. I've been rejected. Life's been cruel to me. I don't have much to give. But God, I just come to you as I am. And that's the right attitude because you can never change on your own. We're never good enough on our own. None of us are. None of us are. We can never become that person that's so good to be good enough for God. We all fall short. We've all sinned to come short of His glory. So when it comes to our relationship with Christ, when it comes to salvation, it's okay to come as we are, just to give Him who we are, where we are, what life is like. God, I give you this. But after that, we come in and we experience the grace of God. We say, God, even in spite of everything I've done, in spite of everything I went through in my life, you love me enough to send your only son. You love me enough to send your only son to die for me that I can receive grace. That when you look at me now, you see me as forgiven. You see me as a child of God. You see me now as the sons and daughter of the King. And you have counted me righteousness. And that demands a response from me now is this, is that now my response is I came as I am and you have made me righteous. You have called me sons of God. And now that demands of me to say, God, now I'm going to live my life giving you the very best. Nothing else short. I'm going to live my life giving you the very best. And if we're not careful, it happens to all of us. The trap becomes we just give God our leftovers. And that's a very dangerous place to be as a Christian. We got to give God our best. Let's stop giving him our leftovers. And we see this principle happening. You know, giving God what you really don't need, that's not really giving at all. Giving God what you really don't need is really not giving at all. That's okay for charity. But when it comes to God, he doesn't want what we have left over. He asks for the first things in our life. Look at this scripture right here. It backs it up. The very principle that Jesus said in Matthew 6, 33. But seek last the kingdom of God, right? No. But seek what? First. But seek first. Let's all say it together. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what happens? All these other things they were worried about, all the temporary things, all the things about food, clothing, shelter, the job, all those things they were worried about. He says, then all these things will be added to you. But our job as Christians is to seek first God's kingdom. That's my job. That's my response now. I come as I am, filthy rags. I come to you as I am. We have all sinned, come short of his glory. And my response now, after being redeemed by grace and mercy, my response now is I seek first God. I seek first God's kingdom. I seek first. I put him first in my life. I owe him everything. My response is that, God, I give you everything. You become first. You get the best that I have to give. We see the same principle in one of the very first stories in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 4. We see the story of Cain and Abel. Remember, Adam and Eve produced two sons, and their names are Cain and Abel. Look what it says here in Genesis chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, when they grew up. Abel became a shepherd, while Cain cultivated the ground. He was a farmer. And when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some. He presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the first. See, he gave the best and the firstborn lambs of his flock. The Lord accepted Abel's as his gift, but he did not accept Cain's as his gift. We see a principle here that God was establishing very early on, that he wanted you and I to realize that God doesn't just want our leftovers. And this is what was happening here. We see where Cain brought some. And what it means by this, when you go back and actually understand the original translation of this story, it says that basically what he did is he collected everything he had for himself, collected all the harvest he needed for his family, and then what he had left over, he brought some of the leftovers to God. Whereas his brother took the very best that he had, took the very first that he had, and gave it to God first. There was a difference in the offerings. And to a normal person, we wouldn't necessarily see that. To a normal person, we wouldn't see that or know that. Is that their best or not their best? Because we're not the judge, but God knows. And God knows our heart. Are we bringing our best to the Lord? Are we giving of our life the best to the Lord? Or are we just simply saying, God, my life's a wreck, so I'm just giving you my leftovers? What would happen if we start putting God first? What would happen if he becomes the first of everything we do? What would happen? How would our life change? How much more acceptable would God begin to give us favor and blessing? We see this all throughout Scripture. We see it with Isaac and Abraham. Remember Abraham and Sarah? God said, you're going to have a son. They laughed. Like, God, man, Sarah's way past childbearing age. She's already went through the change. She can't have any children. We want his sons, but now it's being prophesied to Abraham, you're going to be a father of many sons, many nations. Remember that? And then they have Isaac, the blessing from God, and God fulfills the promise. God does a miracle. She receives a child. She gives birth to the child. Isaac is born, and now God asks Abraham to give up the very thing he blessed him with. Why? That makes no sense, because you know what? We look at Abraham's life, and after Sarah passed away, we find out he has six more sons later on. And he even had Ishmael. Remember, he had Ishmael through the maid because Sarah didn't think she could get pregnant, so she tried to hurry God's hand and had him sleep with his maid so he could have a son. So I can understand if he had eight sons that God said, I want you to give up one of them, then maybe that would have been a little bit easier to handle. Because I'll be honest with you, there's some days I wouldn't mind giving up one of my kids. Just kidding. Come on, parents. Lighten up. But you know what I'm talking about. There's some days you catch me on the right day, I might say, all right, God, take them. Take two while you're at it. But God asked for Abraham for the very thing he blessed him with. He asked for Abraham the very blessing and promise. He asked him to sacrifice and give it right back to him. It's just a pattern that God... Why is God doing that? Because what did God do to us? John 3:16, for God so loved us that he did what? Gave his only son. See, God gave us the most precious gift he could give. God put us first by giving us his son in faith before we ever received him as the Messiah, before we ever received him as a Savior, before we ever received him on the cross, before that ever happened. In faith, God gave up his son that someday we would accept his son and the grace of the cross. And so sometimes, and many times in our life, God is looking for us to give up things in faith and saying, God, I really like this. God, this is really close to me. God, my time is really precious. God, my offerings are really precious. God, my attention, my heart is very precious. But when I give it up to the things of God, when I give it up to the things of God, God then can take it by faith. So God, by faith, I'm going to give it for you. And God multiplies it back in our life. But he's looking for the first. I don't know, Pastor. I've never received much multiplication blessing. Well, I just ask you, are you giving the first? Are you giving the best? Because there lies the key of God asking us. He's wanting something from us that we don't often many times give. We haven't learned to give, and he's wanting our best. And we see this all throughout Scripture. When Mary, remember when she poured her most expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, and his disciples were like, Jesus, this woman, she's so wasteful. That was very expensive perfume. I mean, that was a very precious thing in that day that they had. And she gave it, broke it open, and put it on Jesus' feet to wash him. Who's she trying to impress? She could have took that and sold it and gave that money to the poor. And Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, because he was really cool like that, he knew what they were thinking. He's like, listen, guys, I'll tell you this much. Don't rebuke this girl, because what she's given to me is the thing that she values most. I mean, she had had that was being saved for her wedding night. She was saving that in her hope chest. It was a very powerful thing. And so she was saving that. And for her to break it open to give it to Jesus and wash his feet, she was giving one of the most precious things she could have given to her. To you and I, maybe it wouldn't have mattered anything. But to her, it was very precious. And Jesus said, don't stop her. She's giving out of her heart the best she knows how to do. You see, what we got to realize, your best is not my best. And my best is not your best. For every one of us here, our best is not measuring against each other. It's against measuring to the man in the mirror. It's about measuring against the woman in the mirror. That's why Jesus said when the woman came, the widow came, and she just gave a few cents in the offering at the temple. And even though they didn't say it out loud, some of the Pharisees thought, man, that's not much. We've given a lot more. But Jesus, being able to read your minds, because he was really cool like that, he knew what was going on. And what did he say? He rebuked them right there in their thoughts and said, I just tell you right now, this woman right here, see this woman right here just gave a few cents? She gave more than anybody else in this room because she gave out of what she had. She gave all that she had. You see, many times we're okay with giving our leftovers, but God doesn't want our leftovers. God's looking for something that's called our best. He's looking for the first fruits of our life. This is what he's asking us. We see this pattern all throughout Scripture. We see it with the rich young ruler. Jesus did the same thing. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? Hey, man, I want to be your follower. I want to be your disciple. I want to come after you. And Jesus said, that's fine, dude, but take what you have, because he's really rich. He said, take what you have, sell it, and give it to the poor, and then follow after me. It says the man left because he was very sad because he owned very much. Was Jesus after his money? No, he didn't need his money. But what he was after was his heart. And because the man was in love with his wealth, Jesus said, if you're going to pursue me, you've got to give me the best things that are most important to you. If you're going to pursue me, you've got to learn to sacrifice and come after me with everything. What's your treasure in your heart? See, what's your treasure? What's the things you value most? Jesus says, that's what I want. This is what I want. See, I come to him at salvation as I am. But my response after that responds and say, God, now I'm going to come after you with my best. And we are too often, we just get comfortable here in America Let's just be really honest. We get really comfortable with giving God our leftovers, don't we? Well, you know, I got leftover time, so I'll volunteer this week because I got a little leftover time. Well, I had a little money left over this year, so I think I'll donate it to the church. I had this left over. I think I'll give it to here. I think I have a little bit of time in my day left over. I guess I can open my Bible up and read it today because I had, you know, what else am I going to do? No, God wants us to learn to do the first things first. Giving God our first. Everything else, they can take the leftovers, but God deserves. He deserves and He requires our best. And I feel like long too far in the church, especially in America, we have allowed people to get comfortable giving God their second best. And I'm simply here to challenge myself and to challenge you together to say, let's stop that. Let's say, God, I want to get back to giving you the very best. Can I have an amen in the house this morning? Anybody with me? I'm telling you, it's time for us to say, God, we got to ask for me and my house. We got to get things right. We got to start giving God my best attitude, my best commitment, my best offering, my best time. I got to get back to all these things are pulling at your time, your resources, mine, yours. I understand it. But we have to be guardians of that and saying, God, first, the first thing that gets my schedule is God. The first thing that gets my resources, the first thing that gets my affection, the first thing that gets my focus is God. What am I doing to get God first? What am I doing to make sure He's first in my family, first in my marriage? What am I doing to make sure He's first in my life? So this year, I hope you join me on a pledge. This year, I want you to pledge to honor the Lord. Let's say it. This year, I will pledge to honor the Lord by giving Him my best. By the giving the Lord, I will honor the Lord by giving my best to Him. And I've listed some areas just for us to use. There's other areas I'm sure we can add to it. But here's a short list of things you can do to honor the Lord by giving Him your best. We can give Him the best of our time. Let's give Him the best of our time. Let's quit just giving Him our leftover time. Well, I got this and this and this, and I guess in 2 weeks I'll have a little bit of time I can give. No. How about we say, you know what, I'm going to honor the Lord first. I'm going to serve and give my time first to the Lord. I want to honor Him. I want to serve in ministry. I want to volunteer in ministry. I want to serve helping people. I want to serve being His hands and feet. I want to serve being His witness. I want to serve being His love. I want to serve. I want it to be the best of my time. That comes first. And then the rest of the things, they can have the rest of my time. But my first of my time goes to the Lord. How about the best of my focus? The best of my focus. How many know, man, our focus is so strayed today. Our focus is so strayed today. We fix our eyes on so many things. Look what Scripture says. I love what 2 Corinthians says in 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but our command is to fix it on what's unseen. For what is seen is temporary. The things we see around us, they're temporary. But what is unseen, the spiritual things, are eternal. This has got to be our focus. As we get back to putting God first, that God, I fix my eyes on the things that are eternal and not on the things that are temporary. How sad it is when we live our life. And I can tell you, I've spent many years, with 20 plus years of ministry, I've spent many conversations with people on their deathbed or near their last years in life, and they've said the same thing over and over to me. I wish I would have started sooner. I wish I would have loved my family sooner. I wish I would have got closer to God sooner. I wish I would have served God sooner. I wish I would have gave to God sooner. I wish I would have done this, because all the other things, they fade. Houses, cars, properties, those things are all temporary. But yet they consume so much of our attention. Relationships are going to come, they're going to go. Pastor Justin talked about it last week. Our circles are going to be broken. We're going to have circles, the new circles forming. Relationships come, relationships go, things happen. But what's eternal? No, God, my salvation is eternal in You. And who am I taking to the kingdom of heaven? Are my children going to be there with me? Am I teaching them how to work hard in life and achieve the American dream and have all these investments and titles and degrees, but yet they miss heaven? I've missed it. See, I've got to say, God, well, no, the first thing my family's got to realize, the most important thing before they make any team, before they get any job, before they do anything, the most important thing is this: are you putting the things of God first in your life? Because that's what's eternal. That's what lasts. These other things, they fade. Accolations, achievements, they're great. We applaud them. We love it. But there's short periods in our life. What's eternal? That's what we're working for. And this is where you're putting God first, saying, God, I want to get back to fixing my focus on the things that are eternal. How about the best of my offering? I want to learn to give him the best of my offering. How many times did we just bring God our leftovers? Well, I didn't give last month at all to God because, man, I just didn't have any left over. Maybe the reason why you don't have any left over is because you didn't give to God. Just a thought. Because the Bible is very clear to us that if we give to him, he'll bless us. He'll bless us. There always. And we see this principle. Remember the lady with the oil? Elijah went to her, and God said, the prophet went to her and said, hey, can you go fix me something to eat? She said, all I have enough is one meal for me and my boy, and then we're going to eat this meal because of the famine, we're going to die. That's it. And he says something. He says, woman, go in there and fix me a cake. Now, guys, all the single guys I'm here, let me tell you, that's not a great way to pick up a girl. I'm just telling you right now, okay? It's a bad idea. So don't try that at home. But the principle was this, that if you give, take care of what God's asked you to do, you're going to have more than enough. And of course, it says she went and made him something, and she had enough left over to make her and her son a meal as well. And because of her obedience of giving out of the best she could, it wasn't a lot, one meal, but it was all she had left. But because she gave it all to him, what happened? During the famine, the Word of God says her oil never went dry. She had an abundance. She was full all during the famine because she gave the little boy with the fish. It didn't seem like a lot, but when he gave all that he had, it multiplied to feed over 15, 25,000 people were fed out of one little boy's meal because he gave it all. See, we've been like, no. Jesus, I'll eat this first, and maybe you can have one sardine left when I'm done, okay? No, he willingly came to him. It's a little boy. Here. And it makes me think of what Jesus said. When we come to the kingdom of heaven, we come as a little child. The heart of a child. How many of us would do that? I mean, that kid came to Jesus. Here, Jesus, here's my meal. Not even thinking that. You know what? I might be hungry. But he came and willingly gave it to Jesus. All he had. That's what he's looking for us to come. Say, Father, I give you all my best time, the best of my focus, the best of my offering. How about the best of my worship? We need to give him the best of our worship. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and on Sundays and Fridays and Thursdays, Wednesdays, we need to learn what it means to say, God, I want to give you the best of my worship. Several years ago, I did an illustration here at the church, and I think it may be one of the best illustrations I've ever used in my life. But it's the kind of illustrations you can only do one time and get people to fall for it. Because, let me set the story up, because the story is this. I grew up in Muskogee, Oklahoma. Some of you maybe know that, some of you don't. It's not a big deal. But it's about 20 miles out of Chicota, Oklahoma, which is famous for the hometown of, who knows who lives there in Chicota, Oklahoma. Any country music fan too? Carrie Underwood, that's right, okay. There's a fellow G person over there. She lived in a G for a while, Muskogee, okay. Anyway, so Carrie Underwood grew up about 20 miles from my house. And matter of fact, the Dakota came to Muskogee, which is a bigger town. They all came to the shop. And so my mother got her hair done at the same place Carrie Underwood's mother got her hair done. And they had the same hairdresser, and many times they would see each other coming in and out and at the same time. And so so my mom was like, hey, I saw Carrie's mom or whatever. And so I had this idea for the illustration, and I was sharing the story, and I embellished it quite a bit. But the story was this, that, hey, guys, this weekend, wasn't too long ago, I was actually at went to pick my mom up from the beauty shop, which I had actually done. And when she got in the car, she told me that Carrie's mom had been there. And actually, she invited me to come in because Carrie was actually there, invited me in to meet Carrie Underwood. So I went in and met Carrie Underwood, and she told me she's going to be in Branson performing this weekend. And so I invited her to come to our church and perform and to bless us with a song. And we had to keep it under wraps. No one can know about it. It's very secret. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to look back in the back and welcome into the auditorium Carrie Underwood. And you would not believe the people who went crazy. As a matter of fact, I'll never forget this memory because she's sitting right back here. A certain friend of mine, I won't point her out, right here. She stood up on the back row there and looked and was like, oh my God! Oh my God! Carrie Underwood! And they opened the door and she didn't walk out. They were going crazy. And they looked at me and I said, are you crazy? Carrie Underwood's not here. And everybody laughed. So I said, but let me tell you who is here. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he deserves any more applause. He deserves any more worship. He deserves any more praise than Carrie Underwood, you two, Justin Bieber, whoever your person is. He deserves any more praise and worship. Pastor, I just don't think, they're just lifting their hands, thing. You know, what are they doing? God, I'm over here. Come this way. Signal. Land the plane right here, God. What are we doing raising our hands? But, you know, you go to a concert, and people are there crying, lifting their hands up. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't think anything about it. But we do it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's a little strange. No, I don't think so. If anyone demands and deserves our praise and our worship, it's our Heavenly Father. We can do the tomahawk chalk in 0-degree weather for 3 hours over our favorite team. Just say it. How about he gets the best of my worship? How about he gets the best of my attention? How about my heart says, God, I want the best of you. I want the best of my time, the best of my focus to be upon him, the best of my offering, the best of my worship, and the best of my heart. I've seen so many people I know, Christians, who made this mistake. They come in and get on fire for God, and then they get in a relationship, and all of a sudden they just lose that fire and passion for God because they met somebody else and they gave their heart away to him. And my prayer is to see this, that you realize when you're with the right person, the opposite happens. When you're with the right person that God has for your life, it makes you want to love God even more. They make you want to grow closer to God because you know that God has blessed you and they're pushing you to say, you know what, go closer to God. This is what happens. Quit giving your heart away to everyone else and say, you know what, I got to give the first part of my heart and all of my heart, the first love and affection. As much as I love my wife, as much as I love my children, as much as you may love your grandchildren, as much as you love your spouse, the first part of our affection should be to God. God, no, everything first to you. God, you have the first of my heart. You have the first of my time. You have the first of my focus. My mornings are about you, God. My afternoons are about you. My evenings are about you. I fix my minds on the goodness of God. I'm learning to give God my best. How many are with me today and say, Pastor, I'm going to stop giving God my leftovers. I want to stop. I want to make a pledge this year. I'm going to join you in this pledge to stop giving God my leftovers. Anybody here want to raise your hand and say it's you as well? Just don't give God our leftovers. How are we going to do it? I'm going to help you kick it off. We're going to do something here today that we've done several times at the first part of the year in January for the last several years. And we call it the 21-day challenge, where I step up and I challenge you to join us for 21 days on a journey just to say, God, I'm ready to put you back first in my life. How do we do that? Let me give it to you. What's a 21-day look like challenge? First of all, I'm asking you to pick a fast that will challenge you. Pick a fast that will challenge you. What is fasting? We see in Scripture where they fasted many times. God, they said they went away and they fasted and prayed. And when they were fasting in the Bible, we see Scripture where they talked about giving up meals. They were giving up meals and fasting and praying. And I interpret it a certain way. And if you don't want to agree with me, that's okay. You have the freedom to do that, okay? But let me just give you my opinion on this. Like I said, if you don't want to agree with me, that's okay. I won't be offended. But in my opinion, the meal of that day was the most important thing that they could do. Because all the day is centered around preparation for the meals. I mean, they went out day to day, and they harvested, they hunted, they prepared. And the cooking was not, you know, just get the ingredients and come back and cook it. It was everything made from scratch, so when you put the TLC into the meal, it was an all-day effort of preparing, and many times, many days effort preparing these meals. And it was the time the whole family came together, and they spent a lot of time around the table, eating together, sharing together. There was no entertainment. There was no TV to go to, no phones to check. Everybody was there. So to give up the meal, you're talking about giving up the most important part of the day. And so as I ask you to pick a fast that will challenge you, for some of you, that may be food. Maybe certain types of food you want to give up. Some people I know in the fast have given up things like sugar and bread. And some people have given up meat. Different things. Whatever God asks you to give up, that's okay. But for others of you, maybe you want to give up something else that would challenge you. Maybe it's social media for 21 days. Oh, Some of you went, oh, this is cringe right there. So, you know, you got addicted to social media for 21 days. Or some people give up maybe watching TV for 21 days. Whatever it is, it should be something that challenges you. It should be something that's really going to be hard for you to give up. It's going to be hard. It's okay. That's what it's supposed to be. That's why it's called a fast. It's a challenge. And if it's not hard to give up, don't do it, okay? Don't give up sugar if you're a sugar diabetic, okay?
I'm giving up sugar, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Well, you're a sugar diabetic. No wonder you're giving up sugar. Don't give up coffee if you don't ever drink coffee, but once a week. It should be something that should really stretch you, okay? I like telling this story because it's so funny, and I've told it almost every year, but I can't help but tell it again. My youngest son, Hayden, over here, when we first started this, he was really little, and we were really surprised. He said, Dad, I want to join the fast. I'm like, okay, I didn't ask my kids to do it. Never have. This, they want to. We let them join in, and I'll let it be their decision. And he said, Dad, God wants me to give up something, and I'm ready to give up. He goes, I'm going to give up cheeseburgers. And I was like, this is a big deal because this kid loved cheeseburgers. He would eat cheeseburgers every meal if we would let him. He goes, yeah, I'm giving up cheeseburgers. From now on, the next 21 days, I'm just having hamburgers. Way to sacrifice right there, my man. Now say that to say this, that it should be something that challenges, okay? That's what it's about. It's about giving up. God, I'm denying myself to recenter myself on you. Denying myself. So pick a fast that will challenge you. Number two, read one chapter of the Bible a day. Read one Bible chapter a day. I've listed some chapters. If you've never read the Bible before, you say, I don't know where to start. Here's some great places to start. Psalms and Proverbs had very short chapters. For those of you who are micro time managers and you just like, I don't have a lot of time, you can read the Psalms and Proverbs within a minute or two, okay? It's not, they have really short chapters. Others of you maybe want to read some of the words of Jesus and the stories of Jesus, the parables of Jesus in Matthew and Luke. Or some of you want to read the Romans and find out about the early church. It's a pretty cool thing. But I'm asking you, you can read anything you want to as far as the Bible, but just pick one chapter, read it a day. Begin to put back into your mind, the focus. Remember, I'm fixing my eyes, I'm putting back into my mind, into my spirit, the things of God. If you want to read a lot more than that, you're more than welcome to do that. But we're committing to reading this one chapter a day. We're also committing this. I'm going to pray daily, every day. Spend time in prayer every day. Maybe it's just when you get up early before the kids get up and you're saying, God, I'm going to renew my focus on you. I'm going to spend just a few minutes in prayer. That's okay. Maybe for you, it's after you take the kids to school and you're driving to work or driving back home, whatever it is. It's going to take a few minutes and just say, God, I want to refocus my attention on you. Talking to you. God, asking you to direct my path today. Communicating with God every day. You don't have to do hours. I'm just asking you to say every day. Every day, God, I'm setting aside my first thoughts, my first prayers to you. And then the last thing here, I'm asking you to take time just to listen to only worship or Christian music. Some of you, this is going to be a big challenge. Some of you like music. I love music. I love all kinds of music. I love all kinds of genres of music, okay? But for 21 days, I'm asking you, when you normally listen to music, just put on some Christian or worship music and just saturate your mind, your spirit with the things of God. It's amazing what happens. You begin to communicate with God a few minutes a day. You begin to read a few minutes of His Word and plant that in your mind. And then as you're going throughout your day, getting ready in the morning for work or driving in the car and you got worship music playing, it's amazing how all these things begin to compound and begin to multiply in your life. And the next thing you know, you're walking in the fullness of God. You're hearing God's voice. Many of you here, when we gave out the $20 bill, you said, Pastor, man, God gave me the right person. I really prayed about it. God, show me the right person to give us to it. And God brought that person to your mind, or God showed you a vision of that person. And when you saw him, that's the person of my vision. Or I had this person, and God just showed me what would happen if we live every day that way. God, show me today who I can love. Show me today who I can be your hands and feet to. God, show me today who I can bless. God, show me today who I can encourage. This kind of things happen when we begin to saturate ourselves, refocusing ourselves on God. It's a 21-day challenge for a reason. I believe far too long we haven't challenged people to grow. And even though this is a place where everyone's welcome, when you come in the doors, I want to challenge you. It's not just about, you know, making you feel good, but sometimes we're going to challenge you. All right, get out of your comfort zone. Push yourself. How many today say, Pastor, I want to take the challenge with you? Anybody here want to take the challenge with me? 21 days of spiritual renewal. 21 days of saying, God, I'm starting this first year off right. A lot's going to change this year. A lot of things will change. Here, shortly, we're going to have a change in president. We're going to have a change in government. We're going to have a change in economy. We'll have a change in the stock market. We'll have 10 people have a change in health. There'll be changes in technology. There'll be changes in relationships. Things are going to change this year. But let me tell you the one thing that will not change. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why we fix our attention on the things that are eternal, that God's power does not change. God's glory does not fade. His grace, His love, it never fails. So I fix my attention on Him and say, God, You are the first in my life. You deserve the best. And I'm going to stop giving You what I have left over. I'm going to learn what it means to give You the best I can. If you're ready to do that this morning, stand on your feet. We're going to close with a song that says, come to the altar. And I'm going to invite you, if you want to step out of your seat and join us around the front and say, I'm stepping out, Pastor. I'm ready to say that this year I'm going to stop giving God my leftover and I'm going to learn what it means to start giving Him the best I can. Scoot into the front, guys. Make room for those coming behind you. I believe God's going to do something very, very powerful in your life. I believe God's going to do something very, very powerful. When we come together and we pray, we come together and focus together. We're going to sing this song as we close, saying, come to the altar. I want you to make it your heart's cry this morning.
Oh, what a Savior. Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah. Christ is within. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
So this is what I'm pledging to you. As your pastor, I'm pledging to you that this year, I'm going to make sure I do everything I can to give God my best offering in every area of my life. And I'm asking you in return, how many of you say, Pastor, I want to join you and say, God, I want to start giving God my best. I'm going to stop letting everybody else take the first and then me just giving God my leather. I'm going to do my very best to put God first in every area of my life. Anybody here want to join me today? Yeah. I want to pray for you. Raise your hands this morning. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, You're raising up people who want to go deeper in You, who want to get back. Father, what it truly means just to love You with a pure heart, of learning to give You the first. So right now, God, we cry out to You and say, Father, we give You our best, God. Lord, we want to give You our best. May this year be a year of learning to stop giving You the things we have left over, and may You start being a priority. We start giving You the things first. And as we're lifting up our hands, maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I just never have given my heart to Jesus. Right now, just cry out to Him and say, Father, I give You my heart. Some of you need to come home this morning and say, Father, I return back to the heart of the Father. Some of you are giving your heart for the first time. Say, that's me. Father, I'm giving my heart to You. I confess You as Lord of my life. I surrender my life to You. And the rest of us here this morning say, God, we're already Your children. But God, now we're saying, Father, we're going to get back to giving You our first love. We're going to get back to pursuing You. Get back, God, that You become the first in our life. Forgive us, God, of giving You anything better than the best You deserve. God, help us and teach us. God, convict us. God, lead us. Lord, guide us, Lord, in what it means to give You the first fruits of our life in every area. And we say yes, and we say yes, and we say amen. If you believe that, put your hands together. God, a shout of praise. All right, now. We're starting tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow, 21 days. We'll go tomorrow the 9th through the 30th. We'll actually go about 20 and a half days because you're really good. I'll let you have a half day off after church that Sunday, okay? So this is what you got to do. Go get in line to Hertz right now because you can't have any donuts 21 days. Those of you who are doing no sugar. It's going to take you the rest of the day to get that sort of donuts. Go out and enjoy yourself a great meal. Enjoy yourself. Let's be ready tomorrow. Let's start together. God bless you. We love you. Have a great day, guys.